Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Research shows that one of the best ways to promote healthy aging is to stay engaged socially. According to Dr. Amit Shah, a geriatrician and internist at the Mayo Clinic, regular social contact can reap enormous health benefits. But it can be more difficult to stay engaged socially as we age. Perhaps we're not as comfortable driving at night, or our circle of friends shrink. At the same time, most of us would like to remain independent in our own homes as long as possible. Today, we talk about village-to-village or neighbor-to-neighbor programs that promote social engagement, volunteerism, and community while also helping people live independently at home while they age. Joining us, Candace Greer. She's from Neighborhood Falmouth. Hi, Candace.
Hi, good morning.
Aaron Lowe from Beta Sound Neighbors.
Good morning.
Bob Nolan from Nauset Neighbors.
Hi.
And Meg Lochran from Barnstable Neighbor to Neighbor.
Good morning.
Yes. All right, so let's start with how a village-to-village or neighbor-to-neighbor model works. Candace, how does that work?
Well, the neighbor-to-neighbor model works a little bit differently in all across all of the villages, but basically it is volunteers providing services for older adults, helping them do things like get to doctor's appointments or the grocery store or errands around the house, things like that. But most importantly, it's really social connection. So we do a lot of social visits, but we also provide social connection during those trips to the doctor's office.
Yeah. And are all your models, the programs, the same? Are you based all on the same type of, I guess what you do, you each have a little difference in some of the things that you do?
There's a lot of familiarity here, though, to how Candace was talking about. So this year, Nauset Neighbors, which serves Wellfleet, Brewster, Chatham, Harwich, Orleans, and Eastham, we will handle about 3,500 requests from our members.
Wow.
Okay. Half of those will be for medical transportation, so getting them from Wellfleet to Hyannis, things like that, for doctor's appointments. 20% of that big figure is for non-medical transportation, getting them for hair appointments, I mean, grooming, socialization, things like that, you know, that happen with that. It's great. The other 30% is this eclectic sort of grouping. I mean, I've helped a woman, 94 years old, set up a Apple Watch. I mean, that blew my mind because technology is not necessarily big in some of our seniors' lives. But she wanted to have her stock price. She wanted, if she fell, who to call, things like that. But it could be taking the air conditioners out of the windows this year, things like that.
Yeah.
But as Kenneth said, every one of these interactions is a moment for somebody to talk to them, which some of them live on dirt roads, off of dirt roads.
Right.
So they may look out their windows and not see another light at night. And we're that, you know, showing our volunteers are showing up. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Anybody want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I would just add that the Village to Village Network is a nationwide group of organizations. And I think, Candace, you said there are 350?
There's about 350 across the country.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And the structure of what we do is maybe a little different among the four of us, but the basic, you know, service delivery and all that is the same.
How did this village concept get started? Does anybody know?
I heard it started in Boston and Beacon Hill.
I've heard that too.
Yeah.
And then it spread. So we've been at it. We're about to enter our 15th year, Nauset Neighbors. So we go back, pretty much to the beginning, because they started, I think, in like 2001.
I think that's right. And then, you know, some entrepreneurial person said, "Hey, I can create a software program to go along with this." And so there are several out there. We happen to use Helpful Village, and that's a software program that our service coordinators use to enter the service requested when the member calls in. And then as a volunteer, you get a daily or whatever, you know, sequence your organization decides to send that shows you the services provided. And as a volunteer, one of the major, major benefits, I think, is you're not locked into a day and a time.
Right.
You get an email, and if you can do the service, you take it, and if you can't, that's okay.
Somebody else will, right?
Yeah, yeah, our volunteers actually have access to that database 24/7. Mm-hmm. So, as Meg said, they can do as much or as little as they want. They can, you know, it just depends on their time.
So how long has this model been in place on the Cape? Bob, were you the first?
I think we started in 2009, so I think so probably around the same time.
We launched on St. Valentine's Day 2011, so mm-hmm. we were right after.
Yeah, we're entering our seventh year. Mm-hmm. So I think Barnstable is the newest.
Yeah,
the
we're entering our fifth year. We were all set to go, and then COVID hit.
Of course,
so it delayed
yeah.
it.
Yeah. All right, so you sort of touched on this, Candace, the kinds of things people use Neighbor to Neighbor for. Small jobs mostly, right? I mean, we're not talking medical help here, right?
No.
Yeah.
No,
that's a whole different
no
thing.
Personal care, no.
Yeah. Primarily we do transportation. That's, I think, the biggest role. Getting people to the doctor's office, doing grocery shopping. We had one person that just wanted to go driving around the beaches.
Yeah.
It was just really heartwarming. He had a different route he'd have to go every time he took his trip. But, I mean, it really is what allows them to be happy, what allows them to function in their home and not have to give up where they feel most comfortable.
Right. And so I know there's some varies, and I know people are going, but is this expensive? There is a cost involved, right, Meg?
Yeah. Yes, there's a nominal cost, and it's different for all of our groups, but it's based on, you know, what our expenses are. But the important thing is no one is turned away. If someone can't pay... Ever.
Yeah.
They're not turned away. So fortunately, you know, we have donations and we can, you know, use those to.
Right. And, you know, it's funny. We got some emails and I just wanted, there's one here I have some thank yous and some emails from volunteers. But there was one, I'm not going to be applauding her. She basically was saying, okay, here's money and here's an extra $25 that you know, to use as you see fit. And I was like, oh, that is so, and you know, mm-hmm. a lot of times these people are on fixed incomes,
oh,
right?
Totally.
Oh, for sure.
And that's how strongly they're feeling about the service, right?
Yeah, that came into us. And so we get that people, they sometimes say, just spend it on the volunteers for appreciation.
Right, I saw that one too.
Yeah. They do that, yeah.
Or as you see fit, yeah.
As you see fit.
But it's funny, our volunteers, when we... You know, try to offer them something to thank them. They don't want that.
They're just
so happy doing what they're doing, and you know, it's so rewarding.
Yes,
that you know, there's really nothing we can give them that makes up for what they actually get for doing the volunteering.
Yeah. We offered gas cards once, and no one
took us up on it. We did the same thing.
Yeah. We hear from our volunteers all the time that they feel like they get more than they give, which I think the members would disagree. But
I'm going to read some of those emails in a bit because it's exactly what you're saying. So how many members and how many volunteers do your organizations have?
We have about 190 members and about 120 volunteers.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. It probably always could use more, right?
We need volunteers. I mean, the service requests continue to grow. There's no shortage of business. We really need more volunteers to handle it all.
Yeah.
And that's why we have a wait list right now, because we want to be able to serve our current membership. But we have so much demand out there mm-hmm. that needs to be met.
We say everybody has a wait list, right?
Everybody, yeah.
How many are you serving, Candace?
We have 150 right now, and we have about 125 volunteers. Any one given month, probably about 75 active volunteers. And we do have a very large wait list that takes about 9 to 12 months to come to the top.
Mm-hmm.
So Nauset Neighbors we have 400 volunteers and 400 members.
Mm-hmm.
So and to Kenneth's point, we probably a third of those in both categories are very active, and then you have minimally active, and then you have some of the seniors, our members, buy it. It's almost insurance to the
exactly.
So they,
mm-hmm.
they may only need a couple of services a year or not, but they just love the idea that they are part of this. So if things happen, like they have hip surgery or whatever, we're there mm-hmm. to take care of them.
Yeah. What about you?
Barnstable Neighbor to Neighbor has 130 members and 130 active volunteers. We've trained about 260.
Wow.
But we've gone through it, and about 130 are really active. And I would just stress that, you know, the more volunteers we have, the more members we can serve.
Here.
So I think our waiting list is 30, I think, right now, which is low for us.
I'm going to read a couple of these emails. Rick in Yarmouthport says, and he's been working with Bay to Sound, I mostly drive people to medical appointments. I enjoy it at many levels. People are very thankful, and the conversations during the ride are informative and fun. We share so much in a short time. I've done some other volunteer work in my life, but I can honestly say that this experience has been the best. Here's another one. This is from Joyce in South Yarmouth. She says, when my husband became ill, Beta Sound had my back. Volunteers helped with household tasks I couldn't handle and also drove my husband to Alzheimer's care groups, allowing respite. After my husband passed, I regained strength after 3 major surgeries. When I acknowledged all the kindness received from volunteers, I too became a Beta Sound volunteer. My volunteer transportation and respite visits have resulted in many new friendships. The members I've encountered are interesting and enjoyable to help. Still a member, other volunteers help me with technical challenges, home tasks, and gardening assistance. They are invaluable. Beta Sound now needs more volunteers to fulfill increased membership requests. Membership brings relief and gratitude, but volunteering brings, all caps, awesome fulfillment. Joyce, thank you. So Joyce is both a member and a volunteer.
That happens.
That happens
frequently. Yeah. We also have members that become volunteers and volunteers that become members. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as do we.
So how do you find volunteers?
Oh, boy.
I
was just going to say, any way you can. I mean, we've even, in Barnstable, we've even resorted to the little, you know, flyer you hang up with the tear-off tabs on the bottom. We've done that. We've, you know, leafleted. We have always advertisements in post offices and libraries and things like that. And, you know, I've even leafleted pickleball courts and put flyers in the handles of the cars. So
I think word of mouth is probably the key way that we get volunteers.
It's so interesting to make pickleball. One of our volunteers wrote her pickleball group league, and all of a sudden, like, all sorts of new people were showing up. So it's word of mouth, but it's we have an outreach group that's like they're putting things in church bulletins, as Meg was saying, you know, posters up. We do have a large group that gets together, a social group on the Outer Cape called Nauset Newcomers, and this is where recent retirees show up to join groups, and they also can join us. So it's a lot of work.
How about you, Candace?
So we utilize the local paper, the Falmouth Enterprise. They've been very, very good to us. So we our president at this time is a retired physician, and he writes an article which is published in the Enterprise monthly, and it's having something to do with aging. So that's great. Yeah. We actually recently moved to a very prominent location in Falmouth, so it gives us a lot more visibility, and we have a sign outside that says volunteers wanted, and people stop in, and it's wonderful. It really is wonderful. We, the four of us, actually did a combined radio advertising campaign, a Capewide radio advertising campaign that actually included a landing page, and the campaign just talks about volunteering and how wonderful it is, and the neighbor
That's
to neighbor.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So we've gotten some great, we've got the website, which is capecodneighbors.org, and if people go to that website, then it's pretty clear where they would go, depending upon the town that they live in, which organization would be, you know, closest to them. So that's gotten us certainly some more visibility and
Candace,
a couple of
what was the webpage landing?
Don't worry, we'll put it on our website too.
CapeCodNeighbors.org.
Andrew in Eastham volunteers with Nauset Neighbors, and he says, as a Nauset Neighbor volunteer, I have hung curtains, moved deck furniture, paid social visits, changed ink cartridges on printers, and driven many a senior to many a doctor's visit. I have taken members grocery shopping. I have done the grocery shopping for the members. I've taken members to exercise class, and I've joined members to celebrate their birthdays at the local senior center. I try to volunteer at least once a week, sometimes 2 or 3 times a week, and when a week goes by that I do not volunteer, I feel like something is missing in my world. In return, I get so much love, admiration, and thanks, and I almost feel guilty. The wonderful thing about volunteering at Nauset Neighbors is that you can do as little or as much as your schedule allows. There is absolutely no reason not to do it, and 1,000 reasons to do it. Andrew, thank you for sharing that. 866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to join our conversation this morning. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org, and we'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about the Village to Village or Neighbor to Neighbor programs that promote social engagement, volunteerism, and community while also helping people live independently at home while they age. With us is Candace Greers from Neighborhood Falmouth, Aaron Lowe from Beta Sound Neighbors, Bob Nolan from Nauset Neighbors, and Meg Lochran from Barnstable Neighbor to Neighbor. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Ellen is giving us a call from Truro. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. I'm calling you because I had a friend who was art director at a senior center, and she went to an international conference about how to serve elders better. And one of the things she told me that really stood out was that in China, the government actually pays a little bit to a neighbor to every day check on their elder neighbor. And that is such a great concept because often family members don't live anywhere near close to their neighbors. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we had a neighbor who had died in his house and nobody knew for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So that government actually taking the step to do that little service was really a great thing in China. And she said basically all the different countries that were represented had many great ideas, and the United States really was very lacking in the group.
Yeah. Ellen, thanks for sharing. That's a good point. I mean, we don't have to be part, we love your organizations, but we don't have to be part of them to go check on our neighbors, right?
Exactly.
And,
right.
And I have to say, we have a neighbor in my neighborhood who I think everybody on the street knows her, right? And I think if she were missing for a couple of days, we'd all be going, wait, what? We'd be knocking on the door. But also, too, the police departments do a great job in wellness checks if you're really concerned, especially for family. And I'm sure with a lot of you, a lot of the people you have family elsewhere, right? So they can't go in and check in on mom and dad, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you vet the volunteers?
Well, all of our volunteers are Corey checked, and their driving records are checked on an annual basis. So,
We check insurance to make sure they've got their fully insured, and we do a Corey check as well.
Yeah. And license, make sure they have a motor vehicle license.
Because that's a big thing. They have
that's
to
important.
Drive,
right?
Yeah, same for us. We do license, Corey check, and proof of insurance.
Okay. We've got an email from a listener in Falmouth that says, my elderly mom and her friends in Falmouth love to go to the Cape Symphony in Hyannis. They take an Uber currently. Is there a better way to get a ride such a long distance?
Hmm.
I guess you'd have to get on that wait list if they're going to use services, right?
Yeah. Sure. Unless if RTA has something, that you can make a reservation, maybe if she could get a group, maybe more than one, they might do something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Or maybe some the listener who's writing in, maybe this person and some of the other siblings could drive them. Take turns driving them, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, the cost of Ubers and one woman I drove one time said she paid $45 to go from her house in Hyannis to the bus station at 1:30, the bus stop at 132.
Wow.
And this was before Neighbor to Neighbor. And so, the cost is just exorbitant.
Yeah. Got a couple of thank you letters here from some of the folks who use your services. And this is, in this season of Thanksgiving, I want you to know how thankful I am for all you do to help me and so many others remain independent. God bless. Another one here says, thank you so much for this wonderful service. I appreciate your help so much and commend all those who volunteer. And then this is the one, enclosed is my membership with an additional $25 as a donation for wherever you can use it most. So, it's really rewarding, isn't it, to know how much impact you're having.
So the gratitude is very lush. I mean, that you some of us may have put our kids through college, and they may have said thank you, but with this, when you call and tell a member that you're picking them up tomorrow, they thank you. They will say for the first time, I couldn't do this without you. You pick them up in the morning. They thank you so much there. So you're driving with them. when they get back into the car. I mean, they may have macular degeneration and just gotten a shot in their eye, and they're saying, thank you very much. Yeah. I couldn't do this without you. And then yeah. they thank you again. It's more than we ever bargained for, right. But it makes this – it's such a lovely experience for our volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, too, you know, you think about as you age, and I know we're kind of all in that category, you can't do some of the things you used to do, right? And you can imagine when that's threatening your independence. You know, you can't get to the grocery store on your own. You would be very thankful that someone can do that little something for you, which seems like a little something, but really is a lot.
One point I always try to make when I'm telling someone about Barnesville Neighbor to Neighbor with the ulterior motive of getting them to volunteer, as I say, you know, I really think of it as paying it forward, because someday we're going to be the ones mm-hmm. needing the help. Mm-hmm. And we'll be so grateful that an organization like this exists. And then the other thing I wanted to add is that, you know, you find out about a request I filled a week or two ago was to take someone's recyclables to the Barnstable landfill. So I called and we made the arrangements and I said, well, how much do you have? Well, I have 4 pretty big bins. So when I went over, she did. It was clearly a month's worth. And she said, and I recycle everything. And she does. But fortunately, I had taken my husband's car, which was bigger. But, I mean, it was a deal, right? So I went, and when I brought the bins back, she was arriving home. And I looked at her, and she was significantly younger than I am, you know, and looked okay, but I didn't think anything about it until she said, I know I should be doing this myself, but she says, I'm a cancer survivor and I've been undergoing treatment and I don't have the strength.
Right.
And so I reassured her that, you know, no judgment. We're happy to do it. You know.
That's the thing, too. You know, sometimes you hear people complain about what are they parking in the handicap space for? They walked in. You don't know what people
say. Exactly.
Somebody can look perfectly fine and not be perfectly fine at all. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right. So we talked about with Joyce earlier, who mentioned that she was a member and a volunteer. Do you find that a lot? Do you have members who become volunteers who are able once they see what the service is all about? Or is that unusual?
Well, we have a lot of members who are so excited about the service that they want to volunteer. They want to give back to the organization. So we have some of our members now, they can't drive, but they could be service coordinators. Okay. And that just requires being in a computer and a phone. So if they're somewhat technically adept, they can do that. So, yeah, we have actually several of our members that are now volunteering because they love the service so much.
Do you ever get any younger people volunteering?
We do, actually, which is really great. It's great for both the members and those volunteers. We go to a number of churches and during their mission Sundays and things like that, and that's where we typically will get some of the younger folks. And there's one beautiful friendship that's happening now. It's a younger person who goes to or is working at HUI, but has this one particular sight impaired member that they get together every couple weeks and they go over a mail. But really, more importantly, it's more social and they're learning so much from each other. And I love that relationship.
I'm almost thinking like, especially young people who don't have a grandparent, right? This is like a really like a grandparent relationship.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, there's so much younger people can learn from some of the older folks that they'd be helping out. Yeah. Do you any of you all have that same experience?
We've really struggled with that as a board because of liability issues. Mm. We did have a young person that wanted to drive, and we just decided, we voted that just, you know, there was too much liability there. Mm-hmm. And we thought about doing yard cleanups, mm-hmm. you know, but then you need the supervision. And so it's never really gotten off the ground, but we've really struggled with that, how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some younger, by that I mean 40s and 50-year-olds.
Right, yeah.
But a lot of, I mean, the vast majority are who join us, like who join us today, they're recent retirees. They are looking at this as being a way to integrate themselves in a community that they didn't grow up in. Mm-hmm. And it's a great way to meet people and to start relationships. So it's very appealing to the recent retirees.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so what are the most common needs requests? Is it transportation? Is that the big one
yes.
you get?
Yes.
Everybody's
saying,
yeah. And what are some tasks or jobs that are not appropriate for the neighbor-to-neighbor programs?
Well, we do absolutely know you know, personal care or mm-hmm. anything like that, or, you know, no medications, no, we don't do anything like that. We don't do house cleaning, we don't do laundry, things mm-hmm. like that. But we will do little things around the house. Like we had a member whose one of her drawers was stuck, so she couldn't figure out how to fix it. So we have a couple of wonderful handymen that, mm-hmm. that love that kind of stuff. So, and it really makes a difference because especially for some of those smaller tasks, you're not going to get a handyman to, you know, somebody right. that they want bigger jobs. They're not going to go over right. to help you, you know, unstick a drawer mm-hmm. or change a light bulb or anything like that. So
yeah, you don't want them up on the ladder.
Yeah. No. Oh, that's what we tell them all the time.
Yeah, we won't do anything that requires like a certification like electricians or plumbing
right.
or things like that. But we will do some light things, putting away Christmas, you know, decorations.
Out, yeah. mm-hmm. That would be a fun one, helping somebody take the decorations and decorate, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we would do that. Yeah. Yeah.
And changing light bulbs, things like changing that. But
helping with batteries and smoke detectors mm-hmm. and things right. like that.
Yeah.
We have a couple of tech people that are good, too, to help people, again, with Apple Watches or if they got a new computer or a new phone.
Mm-hmm. Or so. Answering machines that they have not accessed for a while.
Yeah.
Do you have people who use the services just seasonally, like summer people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a couple of those. Yep.
And we also have volunteers that are seasonal. Uh-huh. That
yes.
One of our service coordinators, that's the person that answers the phone when a member calls in, winters in Florida. And again, all she needs is a phone and a computer.
Ours provides services from Florida sometimes. You wouldn't even know it, that they're actually in Miami.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty about all of our volunteer efforts. You can come and go. I think you brought it up before, Meg. Mm-hmm. This is not like you've promised to be Tuesday for the next 52 weeks, any location. You can look at your calendar and say, okay, we're going to be away March and April, and just back off and mm-hmm. then come back. You know? Or you have family coming in July and you can't do it then, and it's just select what works for you.
Yeah. What we ask is that if a volunteer is going to be away for an extended period of time, that they just let the service coordinator know. Yeah. Just so.
Yeah. Give a heads up, yeah. Do you ever have instances where you have, say, a child from living somewhere else call and go, you know, I really would love you to help my mom with whatever. And mom's like, yeah, I don't need it.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot. That happens.
Yeah. And how does that get resolved? Does the child try to talk mom
case
into
by
it?
Case, or, yeah? Case by case. Sometimes we our member team meets with the mom and starts talking about the opportunities and, oh, you could – how do you get your furniture off the patio? We can help with that. Starts making it like mm-hmm. likable for them.
Yeah.
tough.
Yeah. I think it's tough because we see this a lot, too, with, like, the food pantries and you know, seniors who might need that who are going, no, you know, if young families may need it more than I do. They're right. more reluctant to take help when they need mm-hmm. it, right? So, mm-hmm. yeah, generational.
Yeah, I think boundaries is such an important concept, you know, in any relationship, but particularly with the people that we serve because, you know, you do have family members that can be bossy. You know, and can tell you what their, you know, parent needs or their loved one needs. And you have to remember that person, you know, as long as you feel they're safe and able to make their own decisions, I feel you need to respect that.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
But as Bob said, you have to figure out a way to work it out, too.
Well, I'm thinking of driving. You know, nobody wants to give up their driving, right? And that's always a tough conversation.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
So hard.
And you've given up a lot of independence when you give up your driving. But maybe knowing that there's a service like this would make it easier for some people who maybe shouldn't be driving anymore.
And I think sometimes the kids just say to the parents, well, let's just join. So in case you need it down the line,
good idea.
We have it. So
yeah.
they kind of phase it in.
Right.
They don't just
like
launch it on them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that works.
Yeah. Or even let's just do it now for driving at night because you don't want to drive at night. And then you can, like you said.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I introduced myself to the chief of police in Falmouth when he first came on. I was fairly new too. And told him about neighborhood Falmouth. And I said, if you remember nothing else, remember this. We take about 55 people per week off the streets that shouldn't be driving. That really resonated with him.
Sure it would, right? Yeah. All right, we have another email from Kelly, who works with Bay to Sound Neighbors, has been volunteering for almost 5 years. It's the best part of being a volunteer for Bay to Sound Neighbors is the gratitude and gratefulness of our members display each time I work with them and the nice friendships that I've formed with members and volunteers alike. This really is a socialization thing, mm-hmm. too, right?
Totally.
Which is so important, right?
Yeah, you really meet some fascinating people. One of the people that I drove was a concert pianist with the Boston Symphony.
Wow.
I mean, she had some amazing stories. And even though she's no longer a member, she had to go to an assisted living facility. We're still friends, and we still trade emails, and she still explains to me more about the piano, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
And really fun to connect with. I was mentioning my uncle, who was an engineer, and he was 99 living with us, and we had a gentleman who came to visit with him once a week who was also an engineer, and just to have that connection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you find that connection with the person, it's magical. All right, Laurel in West Falmouth says, hi, and thanks for the show. The village model is wonderful. Before I retired, I was part of a group that was set up a new village in Westerly, Rhode Island, and also active with the Village Common of Rhode Island, the statewide umbrella organization. Your guests are correct. Villages can be lifesavers for their members. My husband is very active volunteer with Neighborhood Falmouth, and he's met some wonderful people in the process. He receives as much from volunteering as the people he helps. I would encourage anyone who's looking for a meaningful way to give to their communities to consider volunteering for their local village. Laurel, thank you. Thanks for that. And we have, let's see, Sarah calling from Falmouth. Sarah Jane calling from Falmouth. Hi.
Hi there. Good morning, Mindy. It's Sarah Jane. And I was giving you a call about this conversation, transportation. My sister is elderly. She lives in South Boston. And one of the things I find so remarkable is that maybe it's through the city of Boston. I just tried to reach her to get more information about it. She is able to take an Uber anywhere, all the way out to Weston, anywhere within that area, Cambridge, for $7.
Wow.
And it's amazing.
I didn't know there was such a thing. Yeah.
There's something that it's being subsidized. The transportation is subsidized. I wanted to get more information before calling you. And I've said to her, now she's thinking about relocating down here. And I said, Janice, you're going to lose this incredible benefit until we find, you know, ways to really get around. But I think it's remarkable. Maybe because there's more Uber drivers in Boston. I'm not sure.
Definitely
anyway,
worth looking into. Yeah,
for sure.
It is. And it shows that there's options being created, you know, using those type of technologies, which I think is interesting. And maybe it's being subsidized. It's probably being subsidized somehow. But that's where funds are placed.
Yeah.
Realizing how important it is. I mean, it gives her tremendous independence.
For sure, yeah.
Her pharmacy is in Jamaica Plain. She lives in South Boston. And I said, you know, Janice, maybe you should find something closer. And I like driving over there.
All right, Sarah Jane, thank you. Thanks for that. We'll have to look into that. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about the village-to-village or neighbor-to-neighbor programs that promote social engagement, volunteerism, and community, while also helping people live independently at home while they age. With us is Candace Gerst from Neighborhood Falmouth, Aaron Lowe from Beta Sound Neighbors, Bob Nolan from Nauset Neighbors, and Meg Lochran from Barnstable Neighbor-to-Neighbor. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Eleanor writes, are there such services for elders on Martha's Vineyard? Driving at night is a topic. Thank you. Yes, there is, right?
We think so. I've seen it listed. We have reached out to them before because we meet periodically, the four of us, and haven't gotten the response. But there is a group listed.
They might be really busy.
Yeah, that's true.
So families, of course, can be spread out across the country and even the globe. It can be a challenge to help an aging parent from afar. So do you have families that set up parents or other ones with the village model without the parents knowing? Or is it always like the parents have to sign off on it, mm-hmm. right? The parents have to go,
yes.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
But those children from afar can at least start the conversation.
Yeah,
for sure.
We had a one person that got signed up. They, the daughter lived in France and was doing an internet search and found us, and then had her mother join the organization. Mm-hmm. But you know, it should be pointed out that when a member wants to join the organization, we do an intake evaluation where we go to make sure that person, we can meet their needs.
Good point.
Because there are some things we don't do. Certain wheelchairs, like we will not do wheelchairs in a lot of cases unless it's a portable wheelchair and they can get into the car. Mm-hmm. We don't do visits where anesthesia is involved, mm-hmm. any doctor's visits or hospital intake. So we do a lot of intake to make sure there's a good fit there before we even bring them on to.
And there are so many services, and I'm thinking, like with the medical, there's hospice, and there's aides that can come in and stuff. So do you refer them then when it's something like that? Say maybe you should check out like elder services, and maybe you should check with hospice, or
check with the senior center.
Senior center, because the senior center does some of this too, right?
I'm sure it's the same for you all, but the Barnesville Adult Community Center has been such a great partner with us in this effort. But they have a myriad of services and benefits, you know, for anybody. Right. So we refer to them.
Yeah. We sort of touched on this, but the social aspects of the neighbor-to-neighbor, do you find, do they go beyond the services? I mean, are these lasting friendships and relationships that go past maybe when they're members, or how does that work?
Some of our volunteers befriend members forever. Okay, mm-hmm. They will sign up for as far out as they can for all the requests. And I may not even know that this member exists because, I mean, we have this dashboard that the member is next week is asking for this. But if their service request, if their request has been taken, it's not on my radar. Mm-hmm. But that's all about people finding people.
Right.
And it's actually a pretty desirable situation to have that these members are enjoying something that was probably much better than they anticipated. Likewise for our volunteers.
So it becomes like a family, right? You know, you've mm-hmm. got maybe a senior who doesn't have any family.
Right.
And then this friendship, you know. Yeah.
One of the sadder parts of the job is that when a member dies, you look at who the volunteers were for the last year and let them alert them. It is like a family member dying for a lot of these folks.
Yeah,
they will see the obit and will attend any services, and the family will probably even know who they are. So there's emotion all over the place.
Sure.
All over the place.
How could you not, right?
Yeah.
All right, Kathy's giving us a call from Centerville. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I'm a volunteer with Barnstable Neighbor to Neighbor, and I don't think anybody has mentioned this yet, but I wanted to add the point that we do have a membership fee, which is quite reasonable. Mm-hmm. In our case, it works out to be about $2 per service if they use all that they're entitled to, which many people don't. But I wanted to mention that we've had many wonderful donors, the Hyannis Rotary Club in our case, a couple of banks, Eastern Bank and Cape Cod Five, and individual donors, sometimes the families of our members who have contributed money to make sure that everyone can access this service, even if they can't afford it. And people who are on fixed incomes of Social Security only would have a hard time covering it. So we have that availability, too. I just wanted to add to the conversation with that.
Thank you, Kathy. Meg, you did sort of touch on that, but it's worth mentioning again, right?
Absolutely, that no one is turned away. And you know, the fees are based on what the board decides, you know, to cover the costs that we do have.
Right. The Neighbor to Neighbor program also provides important information to members and volunteers. And, for example, Candace, you talked about Dr. Bahari from Neighborhood Falmouth writing his regular articles on topic relevant to the people you serve, you know, fall prevention, facing dementia, all those things. Do the rest of you have anything like that? Do you put out any kind of information? You just tell them to read the Falmouth Enterprise.
Right, exactly.
We do a quarterly newsletter, and we provide information through that.
Yeah. Talk about some of the stories that stand out from your involvement in the program. Is there? I'm sure you have some. Bob, I see you're like, oh, that one.
I love the story. This woman is now deceased, but she was this lovely person who was an opera singer. And I am driving her on Route 6 to an eye appointment. She asked me if I like opera, and I say yes. And all of a sudden, she is singing opera to me on Route 6. I thought this was like the Sopranos final sort of thing. It was just final episode. It was just like, this does not happen to anybody, or everybody, I should say. It's just wonderful things that just stand out among others about how much fun this can be, as well as you know, how fulfilling it is. So I just throw that out there.
Anybody else have a story they want to share?
Well, yeah, I think we talked about this off mic, but you know, a man that I befriended that was 95, clearly very frugal most of his life. I think had plenty of money, lived in a very, you know, affluent area. And our first, my first service was to help him find cheaper car insurance, even though he had a car in the garage that he didn't drive. And 2 weeks before he died, he asked me to come over and call Eversource to see if there was some sort of a deal that they would give to someone his age. And of course, it's income-based, so I had to let him know that, but that stands out.
Funny.
We have a couple of, as I said before, sight-impaired members, and just the volunteers that work with them, it makes such a difference for them to just, you know, in one case, the woman wants the paper read to her every week. So, you know, again, she can't read it by herself, so she really enjoys that. And then again, just going through the mail and knowing and keeping up with their day-to-day life. One thing I did want to mention, too, is we talked a little bit about families, and we really are a resource for the families because in most cases, the families are out of town, out of state. And we really want to be a resource for them. So we get calls a lot from, you know, hey, I'm just wondering about such and such. So we've actually gotten calls from folks that haven't been able to get in touch with their loved ones. So we have a great relationship with the police. We send the police over there for a well-being check. Mm-hmm. And just recently, actually, we did that. And turns out the woman was taken to the hospital that morning. So when her neighbors saw the police there, they went over there and they told that. But that's just a community thing, a community looking out for one another. So.
Right, yeah, and you just think sometimes with the medications, people get confused, right? Sometimes
totally.
They take the wrong thing or took it and take it again, and yeah, it's good to have somebody sort of checking up on you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And do your the Barnesville Adult Community Center does reassurance calls? I'm imagining your
if they want it.
Yeah.
Sometimes people, you know, want just a check-in call once every couple weeks or every week.
So those are available, and you can let family members know about that.
Yeah. I think it's nice, too, just to know you have somebody you can rely on, right? Like for the sight impaired going, well, I know that somebody's going to come and they're going to read me that paper, or I know that they're going to help me see what bills I have in the mail or what have you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anything come to mind for you, Aaron?
Yeah, well, one thing that's really, I guess, touched me, we've only moved to the Cape in the last 4 years. We're relatively new to the Cape. And I was touched by the community aspect of what it's like to live on the Cape, where people really take care of each other. Mm-hmm. You know, coming from an urban area in Washington, D.C., it was not something I had seen very much. And coming here, it's really what's been very heartwarming is the fact that people, you know, really want to take care of each other and they look out for each other. It's just, I mean, I think we take it for granted on the Cape sometimes, but it's not something you see in a lot of other places.
Yeah, I know.
That's
it's
true.
Like, do you know your neighbors? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Yeah, it's nice to know your neighbors, right?
For sure.
So obviously you are always looking for volunteers.
Yes, we are.
Of most ages. You have to be able to drive. So, so most ages. Have you, and I know, Meg, you sort of touched on this with the younger, I'm thinking maybe 20s and 30s. Is there, you struggle with how, you know, maybe the yard cleanup or whatever, but maybe there's volunteers out there who would oversee an age group that might need some.
Absolutely. You know, maybe a landscaper that has, you know, weekends free could, you know, volunteer to deal with a group of people. So that's a possibility, too.
Yeah, that would be nice if you could bring in some younger volunteers, right?
Yeah. One thing is, you know, we have some younger, meaning like 30-ish, you know, people that work during the week, but then we'll pick up a service on the weekend to take someone to church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know you said you sort of can make your own schedule, but is there a minimum commitment that you expect?
No.
We give some guidance at the orientation of new volunteers, saying can you at least do 2 service requests a month? That would help us out a lot. Mm-hmm. So we introduce that, and we bring that up every once in a while just to sort of tickle the guilty part, like, you know, of that they might have. Yeah, but yeah. There are some that are doing 2 a week. So mm-hmm. it's all over the place.
Yeah, and I think after several months, if we don't hear anything from them, we might take them off the volunteer list. We'll check with them. But generally, there's no minimum requirement. It's really up to your schedule and what you want to give to at that time.
And everybody has some sort of training involved.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Onboarding.
Yeah. And is that lengthy? Is it pretty?
Takes about an hour.
Oh, an hour.
Yeah. You know, they always can call us with questions. And in our case, when we onboard somebody, if they don't take a request within 3 or 4 weeks, we're on the phone with them asking them, you know, what's going on. Sometimes people really think that they want to do this, and then when it comes down to it, they're nervous about doing their first mm-hmm. time. So we offer to, you know, pair them up with a senior volunteer, if you will, and, you know, just to get them going.
Well, and we have a great excuse me, volunteer committee that will call and find out, you know, why they haven't been active. And we often find out that maybe their spouse has had an issue, or they've fallen, or, you know, and they feel, I think, grateful that we care enough to call.
Yeah. All right, Susan writes, I just turned on the show. The topic of driving is so difficult, and my family's been struggling with this for 3-plus years. My mother is 90, has dementia, and is still driving. The only way to prevent her from driving is to have her primary care, who is not proactive in this situation, send this information to the RMV to prevent her from driving, or more sadly, a catastrophic event. It is extremely stressful. She lives north of Worcester, and there is not any services like we have in Cape Cod. We are so fortunate we live here. Susan, thank you. That is such a tough situation to be in, and my heart goes out to you, Susan. I know how difficult that can be. I guess, finally, just in the last couple minutes we have here, what would you say to someone who's interested in volunteering, but they're just not sure?
Try it out. Try it out. They'll be pleasantly surprised, I believe. And not everybody has to drive. As Aaron said before, there are other opportunities, social visits. We have a number of people who, you know, want somebody to come over and play cards. Or we had one woman that wanted somebody to come over every Friday afternoon and have a glass of champagne. Which, you
right,
know.
Now you've got volunteers.
Sign me up.
Sign me up, yeah.
I'll sign up. Yeah. So, you know, things like that. We have a lot of members who want to take a walk, but they don't feel comfortable walking by themselves. So we have a lot of call for that. So,
yeah, my suggestion would be to come, you know, first of all, they can, with Barnesville Neighbor to Neighbor, they can apply online and then they'll get a phone call. And I would urge them to come to the training and listen to it and ask any questions. And if they still feel unsure, ask that their first service be accompanied by a mm-hmm. seasoned volunteer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're happy to do that.
Lots of opportunities. And as you mentioned, CapeCodNeighbors.org. And we're going to put a link with that and more information at our website, CapeAndIslands.org. Candace Greers from Neighborhood Falmouth, Aaron Lowe from Bay to Sound Neighbors, Bob Nolans from Nauset Neighbors, and Meg Lochran from Barnstable Neighbor to Neighbor. Thank you all. Thank you all for the service that you provide. Such an important thing.
Oh, well, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Great.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.